Definitely some dark humor going on here.
Listening to 101.9 CITR Radio, coming to you from UBC on unceded Musqueam territory. This is the Thunderbird Locker Room. We're giving you a backroom perspective on varsity athletes, coaches, and staff here at UBC. Today I have on Fletcher Mills. He's not a varsity athlete, but I'm still having it on because it's my show. He's a fifth year. He's studying music and finance. He did 4 years at Auckland University. He's also a Kiwi and a rugby player. So he's from New Zealand. Fletcher, how's it going?
Yeah, good. How are you?
I'm excellent. So we were training tonight. How do you feel about the training so far since you've been over here? Because when did you get to Van?
2nd of January. So it's been good. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't really sure if I was going to play, and I just decided to give it a go, and I've been enjoying it so far, so it's good.
Did you quit for a little bit, or
nah,
why weren't you gonna play?
Just because I wasn't sure what I was gonna be doing. I kind of wanted to have a bit more of a free schedule, I guess. But the season finished in June for New Zealand, so
right.
I've been out of it for a while.
So
anyway,
you've been out. Were you running back home at all?
What running?
Yeah,
like doing exercise.
Doing any exercise?
Yeah. I was still going to the gym and stuff like that. I played squash as well, but nothing, nothing like rugby.
Nothing,
I
mean, strenuous.
No,
because. I remember when I was over in New Zealand, you'd see high school kids, even super young kids, running. Everyone runs there.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a bit boring.
Yeah, I know, but just running on the street, and I'd be like, when I was your age, I was not doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess that there is sort of a good sense of well-being and, like, people being healthy in New Zealand, but I don't know. I mean, it seems like everyone playing rugby in Canada, I think in New Zealand people rely on their natural size and sort of talent, I guess, whereas in Canada it seems like people have really worked very hard and built up a better body, maybe, and I don't know.
Yeah, but we still can't beat you guys.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe not at the international level, but the uni team seems pretty good.
Yeah, well, I think last year they went to this international tournament in England.
Yeah.
And they beat one of the top South African teams.
Yeah. And Oxford as well?
Oxford, yeah. So we are, I think the gap is actually between club rugby stepping up to that international.
Yeah.
Like you said, we can play you guys up until about 23, 24, and then something happens, and you just excel and get way better than us, right?
Yeah, I think if you guys had, you know, put a bit of backing into it and stuff like that, I think in America as well, they're putting a lot more money into sevens especially and stuff. And so if you'd taken the leap and maybe put a bit more money into it, then the gap would close even faster.
Yeah, well, we need a pro league, I think.
I think there seems to be like nothing between uni and, you know, like people go straight from uni.
No, there isn't. People get plucked right out of university to go play on the national team. That's how most people start, is they'll play for either UVic, UBC, some Ontario team, and they'll either play for their provincial team and then get picked, or they just get picked straight out of university.
Yeah.
I mean, there's got to be someone to fill the gap there for guys who maybe aren't as good when they're 21, 22 when they graduate, but then 3 years from now they could be amazing, right?
Yeah, and I think, I mean, training is great and going to the gym and running a lot and stuff, it's great. But I think if you're not playing rugby that's of a high level, I think in New Zealand we've got the sort of the National League and then we've also got Super Rugby. And so there's like so many people in the cycle and sort of making their way up slowly. But by the time they get to the All Blacks, they're already used to playing at pretty high levels. So they're kind of ready for it. Whereas I think, you know, Canada gets chucked in the deep end and they're sort of like... Like, oh shit, like, you know, you know what I mean? Like, it's such a big jump from being at uni. So it's, I mean, I think some people were probably like, oh, I'll just stick to, you know, the levels that I was playing at before.
And not try and make the big jump.
Yeah.
Like, the only way you get real bigger competition would be to go overseas, right? Like I did going to Australia, going to New Zealand. Have you been to Australia before? Did you go there?
Yeah.
Did you play rugby over there or what?
No. I've been a few times for holidays. As every New Zealander does.
On the schoolies? Did you do that when you were in high school? Have you not heard of the schoolies?
No.
Oh, man. Okay, we're going to look at the video of this. So, in Australia, I'm surprised you didn't do this because...
Oh, no, sorry. That's the last day of school, right? And you like...
And they just go crazy.
Yeah. Have you seen, any of, Angry Boys or, Summer Heights High and stuff like that? That's, a famous... Chris Lilley. He's like a...
I've seen Summer Heights High.
Yeah, that's the only reason I know about it. But they always have like schoolies and they like throw toilet paper around and like loot the school.
Kids die and stuff.
What?
Yeah, it's crazy. Because, well, let's think about it. When you graduate in Australia, New Zealand, you're 18, right?
Yeah.
Here in Canada, you're 17. So you're not even close to being able to drink yet.
Yeah.
There, you can pass as 19. You can get into the bars. You can get drinks.
Yeah, that's the same in New Zealand.
Yeah, so they go out to the Gold Coast and they just get lit. Like, it's horrible. Girls get raped. Like, it's
oh, God.
Insane. I think they tried to cancel it one year and it just didn't work. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you can't really cancel something like that. I mean, I think I always explain to people that don't really know the difference between Australia and New Zealand is that Australia is basically New Zealand on steroids. Like, it's... New Zealand is so mild and it's got nothing that can kill you and it's got like the weather's not that hot but it's not that cold and like everything, whereas Australia you've got like poisonous fucking snakes and like spiders and shit and like things like that, like you just die and like
everything can kill you, right?
Like New Zealand's just like so moderate.
It's almost like the Canada US sort of, like we're smaller, more chill country, and then America's just like
balls
to the wall.
We'll
do everything.
It's got like, you know, the more extremes.
Yeah. Okay, so this is the... Jamie Zhu, and he's doing schoolies interviews. These are the schoolies 2016 interviews. So these are drunk 17-year-olds, and he's in the middle of a giant crowd now. Let's see what he gets here.
The 2016...
This is how we fucking party.
Okay, there's girls making out, shaking their asses.
Going crazy.
Yeah.
And these guys are like just leaving school, right?
Yeah, these are recent grads. So these kids are 18, 17, 18.
What school is for?
Cock!
Oh, man. I got to get down there.
What are your names? Tana. Sorry, what? Sorry?
Tana.
Like, ton of shit, nice. All right, guys, so how's
school been
so far for you?
Lit.
And have you guys had a fourth meal?
Yeah.
Centipede's a good way to describe it.
So your mates around here have been telling me that you've got a unique talent. Right, I'm with these four girls right now. What is your craziest moment of schoolies so far?
This one.
Oh, three-way makeout. Okay, this guy's a little annoying, but... You get the point.
Yeah, it sounds like, I don't know, I don't think you'd see that in New Zealand very much.
No, you don't think, you wouldn't get that in...
Maybe some parts, but, I mean, it's a bit of a shame almost, but I guess it gets... They don't really show the out-of-hand parts.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it gets a lot worse than David Zhu interviewing you right on the street
there. Yeah, exactly. And that's probably early, you know, probably not even midnight yet, you know, you wait till you get to 2 or 3 in the morning.
Yeah, so did you go to Gold Coast when you...
Yeah, when I was young. When I was real young.
Real young?
Like, oh, not that young. 11.
That's pretty young.
Yeah, pretty young. I mean, you know, not like when I was like 3. But.
Okay. Did you go surf? Like, did you try surf there? I mean, you're 11.
No, I've never really surfed. I've surfed about twice.
Really?
So, yeah, it's not very typical of a New Zealander, but were more into like sort of just boogie boarding.
Did you boogie board a lot?
Yeah, I was real good at it. I wasn't very
boogie
good at
boarding.
I just sort of
stand up.
Just did the way that most people do it, you know. I don't have to stand up. No,
so,
it was good.
Oh, boogie boarding like
you know how you have like
you dive into the surf with the little boards.
Yeah, little. Oh, okay. But they can't hold you. You don't stand up. You sort of just. I don't know.
You just surf on it, really but on your belly.
It's definitely not as cool as surfing, but it's a lot easier.
But you're really good at it.
Not really. I was just sort of like normal at it. As in like, I didn't try and stand up. I was just, you know.
Okay, so did you see sharks at all?
No, but I actually just went to Hawaii at the end of last year, and we were on the beach and in the water. And then people keep telling us to get out, but we didn't really realize until after we'd gotten out that a lady like 20 meters away from us had just gotten bitten by one.
Oh my God.
They shut off the whole.
And you didn't realize. 20 meters
because
away.
Because we were just, you know, these people that we didn't know were like, get out. But we were like, oh, they must be talking to someone else, you know.
Oh my God.
So
she
it
got
was
bit, like,
lucky.
What part of her got bit?
Her leg. I didn't see it, but apparently it was pretty bad.
Like it just took a chunk
out. Like a chunk,
of it.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Pretty gnarly.
So. Have you been, you've been to Bethel's before,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So Bethel's Beach is a beach in Auckland. It's pretty famous. It's got big sand dunes, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Blues team trains there a lot. So we went to do our pre-season training there.
Yeah.
When I was playing
for
College Rifles.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was Bethel's. And they like a month before that, a guy had gotten attacked by a shark, like killed by a shark.
Oh, shit.
And there's this interviewing lady there, and she goes up to one of our players, and she goes, so you guys aren't scared about going in the water? Because we were running, and we were doing swimming competitions and running into the water.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And the guy's like, oh, no, we're pretty tough, eh? We're rugby players. So.
But check it on.
Have you seen, I've got a video of a guy who was talking about the dude getting dragged under, and it's so funny. He's such an the guy dying's not funny, but the guy describes it is hilarious. I'm gonna pull it up.
Have you seen that video of the I don't know if it's Australian surfer, but he's getting interviewed after. Oh no, that's not even a shark attack. It's just he's just basically coming off
surfing.
Off a surf, and he's like, and he came in and he was like, poof, and then I was like, whoa.
Yeah, that's a Californian. I think he's like, oh God!
Yeah, we should get that one up as well.
Yeah, I'll bring that one up.
I don't know what you call it, like whoop.
I'm sure it would be easier to find.
Just say surfer describes waves or something. I don't know.
I'm gonna bring up the shark one first, and
okay,
then we'll watch that one. Okay, so it's not Bethel's Beach. This is Murawai Beach.
Ah, yeah, Murawai. Yeah, I know that.
So that's where we went for our preseason. It was actually
near
Murawai, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is him. Doing his account of what happened to the guy, and there's a point in here. Oh, it's so good.
Was he in the water or something?
I think he saw. I think he just saw the attack.
Oh fuck!
He pulled his head up. We yelled at him to swim over to the rock, and he raised his hand up. While he was raising his hand up, next minute he went down. Shark pulled him down. He came up with his head underwater, and then we know he's dead.
And then we know he's dead. I gotta hear that again.
Him up with his head underwater, and then we know he's dead.
the eyebrows.
Suspense. Yeah.
He's dead. Yeah. Okay, let's listen to this surfer guy. What's his? Do you have any buddies like this, like just hardcore hippie surfers back in New Zealand? Or?
Yeah, they went to this level, but definitely you know, those types of people. They like to sort of chill out, surf, not do much else.
Have a beer.
But the park is still flooded, so you'll see kids out there again.
Some of those kids today will be my co-hosts.
It's just like, dude, you get the best barrels ever, dude. Just like pull in, and you just get spit right out of them. And you just drop in and just smack the lip. Whoop! Drop down. Just drop in.
And get words just can't describe it, obviously.
Well,
you're
actually,
so seated.
You know that's the boogie boards, hey? Those little things?
No, they're skimboards.
Oh.
Don't worry. They're just like basically pieces of foam.
Oh, so those are like wooden ones?
The skimboards, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Those ones go like along the water. You sort of like jump on them.
Oh, okay. So who'd you play club rugby for in New Zealand? Or did you play club?
I did, yeah, but I grew up in Wellington, so I played for...
Oh, shit. Why do I keep saying Auckland?
No, I studied in Auckland.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. But you grew up in Wellington.
Grew up in Wellington.
So what's your home club in Wellington?
Eastbourne. I don't know, you wouldn't have heard of it. It's not very big. It sort of stops once you get to, like, high school because there's not enough people. This is a small suburb. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So then I started playing for high school, played for Wellington College, which is my school, and then, I moved up to Auckland.
Okay. So you moved to Auckland for school?
Kind of, there are a few places. I kind of moved up to Auckland because the music scene's kind of, that's kind of like the biggest city in New Zealand and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to move away from home, see what it was like.
Right.
So, I don't know.
See the world.
See the world, yeah.
4 hours away.
See the big smoke. Yeah.
The big smoke.
Yeah, that's the big smoke when you're in New Zealand. There's like a million people.
Auckland. So I guess when you're growing up, all your rugby heroes were the Wellington team.
Yeah. We had a stacked team when I was growing up. We had Tana Umanga, Jonah Lomu,
these are all
Christian Cullen.
Guys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Cullen, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was... I mean, I remember those people more so, I guess, because I was little and that's what I wanted to be as an All Black. So those people would, like, my heroes. They're pretty cool.
So, yeah, I guess growing up in New Zealand, all the All Blacks are your... Basically, every kid wants to be an All Black, right?
Yeah.
I remember watching a video where kids made a paper mache of Richie McCaw. Like, they made some sort of sculpture of him.
Yeah.
And then they did a big reveal in the class where they... with it to show the finished product.
Yeah.
But the school actually brought in Richie McCaw.
And they
pull the thing back and all the kids are like, yeah. Oh my God. It's crazy.
And Richie McCaw is like, he's so, okay. Have you seen the video of, there's this funny video of this Māori guy who comes in and he finds Richie McCaw in a petrol station.
Okay.
And he comes in with his...
Just sees him there?
He just sees him there. Okay. He's going in to pay for his petrol and he finds him there and he starts filming him and he just comes in with this voice and he's like, oh, it's Richie McCoy, Richie McCaw. And Richie McCaw is just like so awkward. He's just like, oh, yeah again. Like, doesn't know what to say.
Really?
And the guy's sort of like holding up the video like, yeah, that's the one. It's so funny.
Really?
But you should search it up. Yeah. Richie McCaw.
Is this the one?
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh my God, look at this guy. Missing a tooth.
It's Richie McCoy! It's the one!
It's me.
Yeah. It's McCoy! It's
the one! He just got to stand in there. Thanks, Bruce.
He doesn't know what to do about it, eh?
It's the one! God, there's so many funny videos from New Zealand. Like the guy, the Neck Minute guy.
Yeah, Neck Minute is so good.
What other ones were there?
Have you heard Father's Day Sunday?
No.
Okay, we have to play that.
What
we
the
have
hell
to do
is
it.
That?
Okay, search up Father's Day Sunday.
Do you want to just describe this for
okay,
me?
Okay, so basically what's happening is it's a radio competition, and what's happening is the host is saying, okay, so I'm going to say an answer, and you're going to have to say what the question is. So in this particular example, he says the answer is Sunday, and basically it's Father's Day coming up. And... so he says, so Father's Day is coming up on the Sunday, right? So he says, the answer's Sunday, and the question should be, what day is Father's Day, right? And the woman sort of like, you'll see, but she knows what she's talking about, but she can't quite get there, and it's just so painful to watch, but it's so funny.
And this is blown up recently? Or I guess
it's an old movie, but it's an old thing, but it's so, so funny.
Okay, we'll listen to this. It's 2 minutes, but yeah, we'll get through
Trivia, answer tonight, Sunday. What do you reckon the question might be?
Father's Day.
What about Father's
Day? Father's Day is on Sunday.
Yeah, but what's the question?
Oh.
So she's got it. So he says Sunday.
Yeah.
And she's supposed to say...
Like a question that Sunday would be the answer to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. No, I don't know.
Oh. You're close. I just need the question.
Oh. I'm not too sure.
Answer's Sunday, but what would the question be?
Ooh. All I know is Father's Day.
Yeah, you're kind of right. I just need to know the question.
Need it in a question form.
Like, the 31st?
I just need it in a question form, though.
I do.
Like, as a question. Like, maybe, like, what day is Father's
Day? What day is Father's Day? Sunday.
Yeah. So what would the question be?
Father's Day is on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, my. But if it was to be a question, it would be, what day is Father's Day? So
what day is Father's Day, right?
Yeah, so the answer, is Sunday.
Okay, we get the idea.
Yeah. It goes on for 2 minutes.
Oh, my goodness. So that one blew up when it was...
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of sort of like semi-big ones. But I think, yeah, New Zealanders, they love their own New Zealand stuff. I think they find it especially funny. It's probably the same with Canada and, what's that, the Letterkennys? Do you know that show?
I've heard of it.
I just started watching it, but it's funny. But I think to Canadians, it's like especially funny.
I've honestly never heard of that show. So well, maybe it's big in Ontario or somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite like rural, but...
Yeah, that's probably, yeah. Like Corner Gas is a Canadian show. And no. It's like about some gas station in the middle of nowhere in Alberta, I'm pretty sure.
Sounds good.
Yeah, so I guess you guys have your own sort of humor. But, I mean, I still find Kiwi humor funny. But
yeah, I think, I mean, we're sort of, our language is sort of like so, our whole culture is sort of like, you know, everything's all good. Like, we're just like so chill and we're just like, that's all good, bro. Like, don't worry about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know, there's definitely specific things that we find funny just because it's relative to New Zealand more than other places, but I don't know, I think as a country we're pretty see the humor in a lot of things.
Yeah. Like, you guys, you have a lot of people who talk very funny.
Yeah.
Even to Kiwis, they talk funny. Yeah. So you guys will laugh at those guys.
Yeah, definitely.
So have you seen, what's that movie... it's got Jake the Mus in it. It's like a famous...
Oh, yeah. Once for Warriors.
Yeah, Once for Warriors. Yeah. That is a movie that they tell you have to watch when you go to New Zealand.
Yeah.
That's sort of like... That show's the bad part of Auckland, right? What part of Auckland is that?
I think it's south of Auckland. I'm not sure. I mean, Auckland's so big. I mean, the thing is, like the main cities, like Wellington, Christchurch, and Dunedin and stuff like that, they're, you know, like I don't really see... any of that sort of life. I think sort of when you get into the middle of the North Island and South Island and, yeah, West or South Auckland, I mean, yeah, I think you kind of, I don't know, when you grow up in a place like Wellington, you don't really think that New Zealand is that segregated, but it actually kind of is.
It's segregated kind of, like,
there's still a lot of, like a lot of poor people and, like, you know, a lot of people, like, living on the benefit, but there's cities, there's, like, whole cities where you don't really see that, you know, so it's kind of... I don't know, I guess it's kind of a shock to a lot of people.
So, like, in the city of Wellington, you wouldn't see a bunch of poor, wouldn't have a poor section of Wellington?
No. I mean, like, in the greater Wellington region, as soon as you get further away from sort of the central business district, then maybe. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's just when you're sort of driving through, when I drive from Wellington to Auckland, there's a lot of places that are just, you know, you can tell that people sort of grow up and never really leave the place that they live, their own little town.
So is that more Islanders and Maori?
Yeah, I mean,
or is it also farmers and?
I think it's everyone, to be honest.
Yeah,
I think it's sort of just a mix, but it's just a sort of lifestyle that sort of promotes a sort of cycle of never really being able to get out of it. And you're sort of, you know, if your parents are on the benefit, then you're not really going to work that hard. You're probably going to be on the benefit. You're not going to be able to move out of your town and sort of, like, I don't know. There's just a lot of that. Whereas
benefit, like government subsidies.
So benefit, basically the government pays you. If you can sort of prove that you can't get a job or that you've tried to get a job, then they'll give you sort of a certain amount of money.
Yeah, because, like, that Once for Warriors movie, it's actually really depressing.
Yeah, it is very depressing.
Like, there's a kid living in a car.
Yeah.
The Jake the Mus guy beats his wife up. The uncle rapes one of the, like, it's super depressing.
Yeah, it is pretty fucked up. I mean, I think that's why I think to a lot of people in the cities, they're like, that's not New Zealand and stuff like that. Yeah. But then you actually hear a lot of people saying, like, oh, shit, that's actually, like, kind of true. Mm-hmm. And I guess it just shows you that we're kind of protected, I guess, in the big cities. You don't really realize.
Yeah, the same thing happens in Canada with reservations. Like,
yeah,
there's tons of alcohol problems. They, like the proportion of alcoholics on reses, so for our Native Americans, is way higher than the normal population. Yeah. The education level is lower.
Yeah.
The employment level is lower, and a lot of people think it's because we put them in the reservations and didn't assimilate them, right? But if they don't want to, I don't think we should force them to.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But New Zealand didn't do the reservation policy, right? Mm-hmm. What they basically did was named all the streets after Maori names, and then they're like, okay, we're good.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know much about how Canada has treated what do you call them? Indigenous.
You call them indigenous, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think that when you compare how New Zealand government's treated the Māori, it's like so much better than how Australia treated the Aborigines. And like, they didn't even recognize them as people until like
the 70s, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, the 70s. Like,
yeah.
And even now, like, they're so far behind in society just because of the way that Australia has sort of treated them.
Yeah,
and
Australia's treated one of their indigenous, one of the worst. Yeah. Worse than South American countries, worse than Canada, even worse than America, right?
Because yeah.
They didn't give them reparations. They didn't name anything out. None of their culture revolves around Aboriginal.
It's pretty horrible.
Yeah. But, yeah, so in New Zealand, like, all these places, like that beach we were talking about. What was it called?
Mirawai.
Mirawai.
Yeah. A lot of places, named after.
Yeah, you learn about it in school, right? You guys learn about Maori culture as well, right?
And also the government sort of has given a lot of land back to the Māori.
Also, they have given land back.
Yeah, like a lot of land, and it's cool. I mean, I've stayed at a few places that are sort of shared between the government and the Māori people, so you can stay there, but it's like you couldn't make any developments on it or anything like that. It's kind of protected, but the public can still visit it.
Oh, is it? So it's almost like a national park.
Yeah, kind of.
But the tribe sort of runs.
There are still areas where it's strictly Māori land. They can do whatever they want, sort of thing. And there's also a lot of like quotas for like fishing and stuff like that the Māori have gained. So they've got a lot more
rights. The whole country, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when we were down there, they're trying to claim the rights to all the water in New Zealand. People were not happy about
that. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's
all
like
the water.
When you, I think there was, when they're thinking about all this land, like, we're just going to have to pay you like back, like how much the land is worth now, sort of thing. And you're like, you can't, like, there's like billions and billions and billions of dollars. Like, you know, it's like you have to sort of, go with what's actually, relevant feasible to the present,
I mean, so we should keep the reservations, but I think it's time that we start trying to assimilate.
What are the reservations?
Okay, so it's basically when we took over their land, when they made treaties to give some of it back, they basically just did what you guys did. They gave them the land, but it's theirs. So they have their own sort of government governing it. They're under Canadian law, but then they also have their own sort of tribal laws, and they do their own elections. And
it's sort of like strictly Musqueam people? Like it's no one else does it?
Mostly that's what happens. I mean, you're not going to have an Iroquois living in the Musqueam, but you might, So I think it's time that we start trying, because a lot of the schools are segregated, sort of. They're in this one enclave, they're sort of by themselves, and they're stuck in a cycle like you were saying, right?
So like a little society.
Yeah, it's a little society within our own society, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but there are some bad things that happen there.
Yeah.
And I think if we try and assimilate them more, that might even out the inequalities that are keeping them separate.
I mean, we don't really have anything if you're applying for a state house or if you're applying for a benefit, you don't get any more priority if you're Māori or anything
like
that.
See, that's what we did here. Yeah. So when you sign, like even when you apply to go to university, you say whether you're Aboriginal or not, right? Now in Canada, I think in the States, I'm pretty sure you have to tell them like if you're black or white or Hispanic or whatever. But in Canada, you can just leave it blank. Right? Yeah.
I mean, I think if you're going to uni, there's a lot more scholarships for Māori people. They definitely want to get more Māori people into university and stuff like that. And they have medicine and law, they have sort of like a certain amount of people that have to get in, sort of thing.
Oh, right.
Okay. So, I mean, I guess it's just, I mean, I don't know. There's some people that say, why are they getting treated differently and stuff like that? But you need to go back to sort of the way that they were treated and stuff. And like, if you want them to sort of catch up, then it's like you kind of almost need to compensate for the way you treated them before, you know what I mean?
Yeah, people forget that the reverberations of our history we can still feel it today.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we're all the same human beings, right? Yeah. We all have the same brains. We're not built the same.
Yeah, massive.
But essentially we're the same animal,
yeah.
right? So these people aren't dumber, like if they grew up in the same context that you did, they would be you, basically,
yeah, yeah.
Right? So just because they're born in a shitty part of New Zealand doesn't mean they shouldn't get a leg, a hand up to help them catch up, right?
And, and that's the thing, we kind of owe them a hand up. I guess it's sort of the same with like women, you know, it's like, you know, like we can't just be like, okay, we're going to treat everyone equal now. It's like we've actually had to like, I think it's important to like almost lend them a bit of more of a hand and stuff like that.
To get to that balance.
Exactly.
Point first.
And then you can be like, now that it is equal, we'll be equal. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I've actually seen some interesting stats on kids in school. So now, so the pay's not exactly equal yet.
Yeah.
There's other things like industries that aren't exactly equal, but those could be for different reasons.
Yeah.
But so primary schools and high schools, the girls are actually doing better now than the boys because of the way we teach kids. So like sit down and pay attention is a lot easier to do for a girl than a 7-year-old boy who just wants to go throw rocks.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they're so much more mature, you know, at the same age.
Yeah,
girls are so much more mature.
Right. I've heard that the school system's sort of more tailored towards a girls, basically, right?
Uh-huh.
So I think they do better in math and all these things. It's not because we're better at math. It's just because boys
don't know how to work harder at a younger age.
Yeah, they work harder at a younger age.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to our first break here. You're listening to 101.9 CITR Radio coming to you from UBC on unceded Musqueam territory.
UBC's Museum of Anthropology displays long-term and visiting exhibits of Indigenous art from around the world. And guided tours are free. Our permanent collection features one of the world's finest exhibits of Northwest Coast First Nations art. Our collection includes 36,000 ethnographic pieces, 535,000 archaeological pieces, and over 600 pieces in the Kroner Ceramics Gallery. There's a lot to take in. Luckily, at the Museum of Anthropology, final exams are always take-home. If you've never checked out this world-class facility, now's your chance. The Museum of Anthropology is located right on campus and free for all UBC students and faculty. Come enjoy our collection and resources.
Back on 101.9 CITR Radio, coming to you from UBC. You're listening to the Thunderbird Locker Room. Today we have on Fletcher Mills. Let's get back into it. You were in New Zealand during the earthquakes. Right?
Yeah,
in Christchurch, right?
I wasn't in Christchurch, but
yeah,
I was.
You were in New Zealand. That was quite a big deal for basically the whole country, right?
Yeah,
How many people died?
Well, there's actually like a massive one, which was actually bigger than the one in February, in September. And it was huge, and miraculously no one died. And so
this was the 2011 you're talking about.
Yeah, I think there was one like 4 months before. So when was the February one? 2011 or 2012? No, 2011 it was.
Okay.
So it was in end of 2010 there was a massive one and no one died. The same place in Christchurch. And I think they sort of gave them a bit of a shock, and they were sort of, I mean, probably not that much, but they were preparing for another big one.
Right.
And it's a shame because Wellington's actually the one that lies on the fault line. It's the one that...
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, Wellington's the one that's supposed to have the big one, you know. We've got one that's, like, overdue, and it, like, lies directly on a fault line, whereas Christchurch doesn't. So when it happened in February, I know there's a lot of people. There's, like 130 people died or something like that.
I mean, really?
I think it might have been, like, 400. I don't actually know. Okay, we should look it up because not sure. But there was one particular building in the CBD in Christchurch.
Canadian CBD is Central Business District.
Yeah.
Here we just say downtown, but
downtown.
I like CBD.
Yeah.
I actually like CBD better than downtown.
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah, that's. I think that was where, because it was during the day, the schools luckily were out because it was a half day, so a lot of them had left already. But
there was one
particular building in the CBD which killed a lot of people.
Was it the news station? Or I remember seeing clips of they had cameras in the news station of shells falling down. I mean, that would be terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, there was a really big one in Wellington a few weeks ago, which I wasn't there for, but I think, those things.
So it says, here's the death toll from February 2011. That was the one where a bunch of people died.
Yeah.
Right? So it was a magnitude 6.3 earthquake. I don't know what that means. Strong, I guess.
Yeah. Also depends how deep and like far away from it is, right. But it was a big one.
So it says it was 10K southeast of the city at depth of 5 kilometers.
That was big.
185 people died and 164 were seriously injured.
Shit.
And I'm sure a bunch of other people knocked their heads or...
Yeah, exactly.
Broken arm or something like that, right? So did you go down? Did you have any friends that were down there at the time? Did you have family down there?
I did have some cousins, but they were in sort of the outer regions of Christchurch, and so they weren't too badly affected. You know, they didn't, like, their house was a little bit damaged, but compared to people that had, like, their houses, like, falling off cliffs and, like, stuff like that, it wasn't really that serious. And apart from that, I didn't really know anyone because I was still at high school. Since I've moved to Auckland, I've met a lot of people from Christchurch and sort of asked them about it, but...
What do they say about, were they people that were there during the earthquake? What do they say about how it was like?
So they were all on half day, so they finished early. They finished at 12. I think the earthquake was at 1 or something like that. One of my friends, his, like, grandma, like, owned an art shop in the middle of the city. And so that was sort of, like, his prerogative was to go and check out if she was okay, which she was, luckily. I still haven't met anyone that, you know, one of a family member died or something like that because... Mm. 185 people was like a lot of people, but I guess Christchurch is...
It's quite big, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's like 500,000 maybe.
Oh, well, that's not that big.
Well, I mean,
For New Zealand standards,
big for New Zealand,
that's
like an eighth of the population, so...
they were actually quite good on their recovery from... Or at least the New Zealand government did quite well in helping out.
Yeah.
Was there any, like, sort of debates about whether they should actually help people in your parliament, do you know of, or?
Not that I know.
In America, when stuff goes down like this, everyone who lives in the state wants money to help, and then everyone who's not in the state doesn't want to give them money.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. Like,
that's so bad.
During Katrina, there's senators who voted no on Katrina aid packages.
Really?
Who had tornado disasters happen in their states. And then they were lobbying people to give them money. It's disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, New Zealand's a pretty, because it's so small, it's pretty unified. There's just one government, and there's not really regions that can sort of decide. I think it was like a pretty big deal. New Zealand is a pretty, because nothing like this has happened for such a long time in New Zealand that everyone was pretty happy to help out. There's a lot of people that went down and volunteered and helped the clean up and stuff. I mean, the city is still... I don't think any of it's cordoned off still, but it was like, I went down like a year and a half ago and there was still like rubble. There's just like a shitload of car parks and stuff.
Oh yeah, I mean it's
like a whole city.
Yeah, it's a city on top of an earthquake, right?
Yeah.
So did you go down to Wellington for the sevens?
I actually have never been as it's normally done, as in like getting really drunk and stuff. I went when I was really young and then... I don't know why. I don't know. There's just better things to do, I guess. I would have loved to go, but I think the tickets at the time when I was growing up were like $200 or something like that. It was a lot of money when you were young.
Yeah, because that's a big thing down there, the party. Yeah. I remember there was a picture of a dude dressed up like Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, yeah.
Surrounded by like his servants, just hammering beers and like just tons, just a big party. When I was down there, there was some guys on my team that had gone three or so years in a row.
And oh, wow.
They'd ended up, like, sleeping in car parks and all over the place, right?
I think there's, like, a $10,000 prize for the best dress. That's, like, pretty big deal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But,
oh, okay.
But there's only been, like, 10,000 tickets sold this year. So it's...
Yeah.
There's
Is
like
it dying
a,
down?
It's dying down. There's this, another sort of similar event. There's Rugby League. It's got one called the Auckland Nines. And it's sort of, like... I don't know, rugby league is sort of a similar game to rugby union. There's just sort of like a set amount of tackles, and each tackle there's sort of, you sort of reset. It's like touch, but like tackling.
Yeah.
And they're doing they have Auckland Nines.
So
it's like sevens, but nine aside.
Okay.
And that's like getting bigger just because Auckland's a lot bigger, and they've got like a singles section and stuff, which is apparently almost sold out.
Singles section? Yeah. No way.
Yeah, so they're catering to the population.
That sounds savage.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I know.
That sounds good.
Although the sevens did have like these things called kissing beads, and you used to like, you'd get
kissing
given like, you get like a 10 of them or something like that. They're sort of necklaces.
Okay.
And like every time, I don't know, if like you got a kiss or something, I can't remember how it worked, but...
So it's sort of like Mardi Gras almost.
Yeah, so if you kissed a lot of people, then you'd like have a lot of them.
A bunch of beads on you. I'm sure you got a lot of kisses.
I didn't go, so...
I'm sure you would.
Oh, thank you.
So did you play rugby league when you were in New Zealand, or did you play any other sports? Did you play cricket at all?
Yeah, I play cricket.
Oh, yeah.
I'm left-handed, but...
Are you a left? Oh, yeah,
yeah,
that's right.
But my, my coach was... he didn't know how to teach left-handers, so I became a right-handed batsman and a bowler, so I was kind of shit.
You bowled with your right hand, too?
Yeah, I was like, if you see me bowl, you'd be like, well, that's not right.
Even me who's only watched a little bit of cricket would say that's not right.
I wish I knew what cricket was like. You know, I wish I didn't know at all anything about it, because I can imagine it being so fucking weird to look at. You know,
if you'd
never seen it before, you'd be like, I just have no idea what this is.
In one of my classes earlier this year, in one of my lectures, a big lecture, like 200-person hall, he was talking about how culture like sort of affects the way you think about things. So if you don't know anything about something, like you the language that you use, you won't know anything about it, right? So he got me to, I was like, he's like, does anyone know what this is? Like, he played a little bit of cricket on the thing. I put my hand up, and I had described the whole class how to play cricket, basically, and I barely know how to play cricket.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, so did any of you understand any of that?
It's like, it's a very weird, very weird game, but, I mean, I don't know.
It's fun to watch once you know the rules. If you watch like a T20, like a 20 over is a side game.
Yeah, exactly.
Smashing the ball out, big sixes and everything.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's sort of like, you know, when you see sevens compared to rugby union, it's like you can have, and when you play cricket, there's three different forms of the game. So there's 20-20, which means there's 20 overs. Each over is six balls, which are, you know, the bowler.
Pitch, basically.
Yeah, basically, yeah. So they're pitching it at the batsman who's trying to hit it. So there's 120 balls, and then the other team has a go at it. And so there's 20, that's 20-20, and then you also have an ODI, which is called a one-dayer, and that's 50 overs a side, so that usually takes about 8 hours.
8 hours.
And then you have a test, which is like the traditional game, and it's sort of like what they've been playing for like hundreds of years.
That's
and
one
came from England.
Hears about where it takes 3 years, 3 days.
It's 5 days.
Five days.
Like each team gets like two chances to bat, and you have 10 wickets, so basically you have 10 outs. So, like, there's 11 people on the team, and, the batsmen all have to try and get as many runs with as
those are the ones where you see them standing in the field with the big, the zinc sunscreen on their noses.
Yeah.
Some guys rub it all over their faces, all over their necks and stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely a game of endurance.
Yeah, it's great, and they have tea time. It's such an English game.
They have tea. They actually do. They have morning tea, and they have lunch, and they have tea, and they sort of like start at 11 and end at 5, and like, you know, it's like And they have all these fines if you don't bowl enough overs, and that would be quite a nice
game to be good at.
Yeah.
Chill.
Yeah, it would
super
be chill.
Chill.
I mean, I don't think any countries, New Zealand, it's probably our second, in terms of how good we are at it, rugby is obviously number one, cricket's probably second, but unless you're...
Or rugby league, right?
Yeah, or rugby league, true. But unless you're in the Black Caps, which is the national team, you can't survive. Like, I mean, like, as in you have to get another job, like full-time job. So I guess it's sort of like rugby is in Canada. It's sort of like, even if you're professional, it's not really like heaps of money.
Yeah.
You know, whereas
unless you play in India, right?
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Where the big
India, probably Australia. I mean, there's a thing with rugby. Like, I've got a few friends that are playing for the Hurricanes now, and they're on like $100,000, and they're like 19 or something. You know, like they don't even know what to do with the money, sort of thing.
And for a professional sportsman, that is not a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like
it's a lot.
If you're looking
a
at soccer, but I mean, for rugby, it's a lot.
I guess. It is. Yeah. We're going to jump into one more ad break here, and then we will get to the rest of the show. Stick around, because the rest of the show is amazing.
Liveband.com is Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. New shows are added daily by the city's most active promoters, musicians, and by the driving force of the music scene, the fans. Liveband.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you love. Visit livemusicvancouver.com for the latest independent and major label event listings. Liveband.com, Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar.
We are back on 101.9 CITR Radio, coming to you from UBC on unceded Musqueam territory. Today on the show, we have UBC rugby player Fletcher Mills. This is the Thunderbird Locker Room. Dig in. Why don't we just go into this music thing? Today, I asked Fletcher to be on my show, and I looked through his Facebook photos to find some stuff to talk about, and I found this gem on his Facebook profile. This is a post from the X Factor New Zealand. If you don't know what the X Factor is, that is a singing competition. And whose face is on this picture?
He looks kind of familiar.
Yeah, that's you. Wow. And this is what the X Factor said. I like you, dot, 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 a lot. Fletcher's got the X Factor and the cute factor.
Wow. That's some good journalism
right
there.
I just want to read some of these comments I saw in here. This guy looks like he's from AHA.
What the fuck? I've never seen that. Like, how do people know what the people from AHA?
AHA.
Because it's a Norwegian band.
Hot, hot, hot. Oh, man. Okay, this is Amelia Glengall says, fuck, he's hot.
Oh, wow. She's probably 12.
Oh, damn. XO. Hottie.
Enjoying yourself?
Oh, my God. Okay, so you agreed that you would play me a little song here.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when I came to Canada, I was hoping that none of this stuff would resurface.
Oh, no, it's surfaced.
I know.
Actually,
let's
talk about your time on X Factor first, okay. then we'll get into the singing. So I've had a buddy who auditioned for the...
Was there a Canadian X Factor?
Canadian X Factor.
Uh-huh.
And he said a lot of it is, it's not only about how good you are at singing, it's like how marketable you are.
Yeah, yeah,
and
definitely.
And if you have a good story.
Definitely, yeah.
Right? So when you went into audition, did they do a room where you were with producers first, or how did that work?
Well, okay, so this is basically, not sure if I get in trouble for talking about this, but there's a lot of stuff on X Factor that you kind of don't realize, and I didn't realize. It's just basically every reality TV show. Once now, I can't really watch any because I know exactly how they work.
Well, let's get into it. So that you were on the X Factor in 2013.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm just gonna chuck my own little anecdote about X Factor, and then you can keep going.
Yeah.
Because I like talking.
No, that's good.
So when I was in New Zealand, we were out one night just on some libations, right? So we had a little jiggle juice in us, and we saw this dude, Daniel Bedingfield. But I had no idea who he was. All I knew was that I'd seen him on the X Factor once.
So, you must have been watching the second season.
Yeah, I
wasn't on it.
So I didn't know who he was. I just recognized him sort of, and we're a little drunk, and I just start going, that's that fucking guy.
You like the guy of the video? That's the one that you...
Yeah, but I'm just screaming down the street, and like everyone's like, dude, what are you doing? It's like, that's the guy. People on the street start looking over. He chucks his hood up and like runs to his car. I was like, oh, I feel bad. Oh, that must be... I think that's my biggest celebrity sighting was probably this
dude. Oh, that's not good.
No.
If you live in New Zealand, like... Every single New Zealand celebrity I've seen, like you don't like.
Actually, I met the 10 from Auckland once.
What
the no,
oh.
The sort of the white guy, but he's kind of small.
Aaron Cruden? No, he plays the Chiefs.
Like he's not the best player.
Ah, okay.
He played back when I was there, so.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. West maybe.
Anyway, continue with your story. It's a lot more interesting.
Okay, so. So the first, they had auditions that you go in and just basically sing a song and talk to. It was the executive producer was there.
Was that Randy Jackson?
No, he
does American Idol.
Yeah.
Damn.
It was a bit too big.
Simon Cowell?
No, he wasn't there either.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I was a bit disappointed.
Yeah.
New Zealand, we kind of have people that you haven't really heard of.
Okay. Like this guy.
Yeah, Daniel Bedingfield. I'm sure you'd know some of his songs, but I guess he's British. So I went in there, sung a song, they asked a few questions, and then we had to basically fill out this questionnaire, and they were like, they wouldn't say yes or no.
Like a written question.
A written questionnaire,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What kind of questions are on there?
Actually, I think it was before we went in.
Okay.
But the sort of questions they had were like, what's the hardest thing you've ever had to do? And like all this sort of stuff where they basically find out, can we make this into a show, and can we make this sort of make the audience feel a certain way, and I'm sure they've got certain people they want to where they want to fill. So
like, has your mom ever did your mom die or something?
Yeah, like stuff like that. I mean, it's like sort of open ended. I've had nothing bad really happen in my life, yeah. So I was like, I don't really know anything. I was like, I'm from a big family, like, I don't, it's not really a bad thing.
Yeah.
So I filled that out, and I think that they sort of had decided that I was going to be sort of like the pretty boy pop, you know, person or whatever.
Okay.
And that's not what I wanted, you know, like I wanted publicity just because New Zealand is pretty, there's a lot of artists that are really big in New Zealand and like no one ever has heard of them if they don't live in New Zealand.
Like the song I played before this.
Like 660.
660, amazing band. Mm-hmm. Super popular in New Zealand. Yeah. No one else has ever heard.
If they go to festivals overseas, they have no one ever goes because they don't know who they are.
Right.
Which is, I mean, I don't know if it's sort of the New Zealand culture. People aren't really that interested. They're sort of maybe afraid to like put themselves out there in case they won't get heard. I mean, Lorde is like an exception, obviously, because she was like 16 and she just had the right marketing and great songs. And mm-hmm. so she managed to just like, I don't know, take a shortcut the way to the top. But there's, you know, there's not really anyone else like, you know, like her. So anyway, once that happened, I had like, so we had, that was like just one-on-one, audition. And then,
where was that audition? Was that in Wellington?
Yeah. Okay. They kind of went through all the cities and then they flew me up to Auckland for like the TV auditions, or like the live auditions.
First class? You feel special?
No, it wasn't first class. Only a 40-minute flight. So,
oh, damn.
You know, they do it on the budget. And that was like, I don't know, it was cool, I guess. Like I got to sing my own song cause I could do whatever I wanted.
You written a couple songs?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's kind of why I wanted to go on to sort of showcase my own stuff. Mm-hmm. So once that was on, then we had like a boot camp, and then like from there we went to judges retreats, which is like
a boot camp.
But it's called boot camp. We basically like they say all the people that they say yes to goes to like a, it's not even a boot camp. They went to like an arena and we sang some songs.
An arena.
Like, yeah.
Hold on, I gotta catch up here. So you do your first audition, they fly you up to Auckland, mm-hmm. you do another audition.
Like the TV audition, the one TV that you one. See, like the oh, one that's on the photo.
That picture's from. And then you made it through from that?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're in the third round.
So the third round, now there's like probably, so you know how there's four categories. There's sort of boys under 23, girls under 23, over 23s, and groups.
Okay.
Right, so there's those four.
Right.
They have about maybe like 20 from each section that go through to boot camps. There's quite a lot of people, mm-hmm. right? And then from there, they cut it down to 6 per group, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay,
yeah. And then from there, so I got through that as well.
You made the top 6 under 23 then?
Yeah, for boys. Yeah, so top 24.
Yeah.
And then from there, they go to judges retreats. Well, it's kind of weird. We just went to a hotel. We got to fly into Sydney for like a week, which was cool.
That's
Got to stay in like a nice place. So I didn't get through then. But then they had like a, so then from there they choose the top 3, so it goes through to like 12 people for the live shows, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't get through then, but then they decided to have like a wild card choice. So basically after they'd aired all the TV shows, they're like, okay, you guys have got like 24 hours to vote for like your favorite person that didn't get through. So like out of the 12 people that didn't get through, vote for them. So I got that. So I got through.
All the little high school girls put you through.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the thing is, I don't know if I trust the sort of authenticity of the votes. I think that it could easily be done through the producers. I'm not sure. But anyway, I got through. So there was 13 people. And then, I don't know, I sort of like, as soon as I was in the live shows, I was basically told what to sing and stuff like that. I kept wanting to do my own stuff, and they're like, no, I don't
they
really
do. They were telling you what to sing.
Yeah, so, I mean, the first, because I arrived, basically the shows before live shows were filmed like 2 or 3 months in advance. So once they were aired, I didn't find out until like 3 days before the first live show that I was actually going to be in it.
Oh, really?
So I had such short time to choose, and I was so stoked that I was just like, whatever, I'll just do whatever. And then I like completely fucked up the first week. I just sang really badly. I wasn't really used to it. And the second week was like New Zealand week. And I was like, okay, I'll do one of my own songs and stuff. And they're like, nah, like don't, you can't do that. And I was
really?
Like, oh, that's bullshit.
But did they tell everyone that you were picking your own, like you could pick whatever song you want?
They kind of say you can pick, but like obviously it has to fit the category, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So like if it was a pop song, I couldn't choose my own song. But
And they wanted you to sing pop songs.
Yeah, well, they wanted everyone to sing pop songs, but they'd kind of decided the sort of person I was going to be. After that, it was just kind of, I think there's a thing in New Zealand, they've got this like real bad, we call it tall poppy syndrome. It basically, because
tall poppy syndrome?
Tall poppy, yeah. So basically, it's like as soon as you start like growing, or like as soon as you like try and sort of like make it or anything like that, people, because New Zealand is such a like a I don't know, everything should just be like, you never talk about how good you are at anything. You never like, you always talk it down. You're always like, no, I'm not good or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so as soon as you start to try and like put yourself out there, people are like, nah, I don't like it.
So they just chop you down,
you know? And it's like, not until you've really made it, like someone like Lorde, because she sort of skipped all that, you know, she just like went straight to the top. People are like, oh yeah, she's great. She's New Zealand. Like, you know, they're like, you know, really like it. Same with Lord of the Rings and stuff. But if you're kind of in the middle, people are like, no. And so like, there was a lot of, the producers were saying to us that like, there's like so much hate on like my own artist page that I like had for like 4 years that I've been putting out my own stuff. All of a sudden there were like 20,000 people that were like liking it, and then there were people that like abusing me and like messaging me, and really? Like, and like on the street there'd be people like, when I went to town there'd be people like trying to fight me and like all this stuff. Like, it's just because New Zealand's so small, and because they're like, I don't know, I don't feel like they feel like threatened, or like I don't know.
Who's this guy singing on
exactly
TV?
Exactly. And because I was sort of portrayed as that sort of like pretty boy sort of thing, like it was just, I don't know, I mean, like, I think mostly guys were just like, oh, this guy, like...
And that's all they see of you, right?
Exactly.
This pretty boy image.
Exactly. And, I mean, it sucked because, like, you're on TV, and, like, and the thing was, I kind of realized that I was like, fuck, like, if I hadn't been on the show, I'd be doing exactly the same thing, you know? If I wasn't on the show and I saw some guy who was, like, being portrayed the way I was on a TV show, I'd judge him, you know?
Would you do the exact same thing?
Not now. Right, not now, because I've been on it. But, like, I know that, like, I mean, just, like, you know, when playing rugby in New Zealand and stuff like that, it's, like, I mean, I'm sure Canadians are sort of different, but, like, I knew that as soon as people found out that I was, like, on X Factor, they were just like, oh, he's a singer. And, like, they try to get me to sing all the time, and, like, they kind of, like, treated me differently, you know? And mm-hmm. I think it's especially relevant in New Zealand culture.
Yeah.
Know?
Well, that point you made about the tall poppy syndrome.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about when you said it. A lot of the rugby videos they show of, like, players when they go back home, they always show them working on the farm. Like, oh, he's still a good kid.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's still chucking the hay bales and rounding it. Like, every video you see, you never see a guy who just lives in Auckland and,
exactly.
drinks coffee at some Starbucks. It's always they show you the guy who goes back to the farm.
Yeah, he's so rural and like,
builds his own shed and stuff like that.
I think that's the thing, like, Richie McCaw is, like he's not, like, a great person to, like, I mean, he's an amazing rugby player and all that sort of stuff, but, like, if you looked at just his, like, personality, you'd be like, he's pretty just, there's not much to him apart from the fact that he's, like, an amazing rugby player. Like, he's kind of awkward, he's not great with interviews, like, he's sort of, like, on a farm, but I think New Zealand loves that. They love the fact that he's just, like, Kiwi bloke, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they do, yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, like, if Dan Carter was a rugby player, he would be exactly, like, Ronaldo all in because he does that a little bit,
exactly,
but he doesn't do it as much as, say, like a Ronaldo guy where they're just naked on all their ads and sprayed up with oils and stuff, right? But you could definitely see if Dan Carter was a soccer player, like
he
would be
more
of a pretty boy.
Yeah, I think because he did a they're like an underwear brand called Jockey. I don't know if you guys have it here, but
yeah, I remember seeing a big ad of him.
Yeah, so he used to get like a lot of shit for that. I think, I mean it's all like lighthearted and stuff like that, but I think that I guess the thing with like music and rugby, they're probably like in like different ends of the spectrum sort of thing. You've got, you know, different audiences and different sort of people. You know, most of the like the rugby players, they don't really have either much of an interest in music, or they're sort of, I don't know, that's the sort of like way they're brought up to be, like, you know, not to sort of think about that sort of stuff, you know? And so it's like the two sort of extremes, which is interesting.
So did you, when you were in high school, did you do a lot of, were you in choir? Did you do plays and stuff like that?
Or? Yeah, I moved to this school, Wellington College, because I wanted to play rugby and I wanted to like get really good. I was on all the reps teams and stuff like that. And then once I started doing music and singing and stuff like that, I was like, oh, because I was doing so much stuff, I kind of like had to put rugby on the back burner for a while, and it sort of just happened that music sort of became more important to me, I guess, through high school, through the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, obviously I still play and stuff like that, but it's just for enjoyment. It's not like, I mean, obviously I'm not going to be like an All Black, you know what I mean?
Yeah. A little late for that, I think.
Yeah.
Well, you never know.
I do.
So did you play like shows when you're in high school?
Yeah, it was one of the best things, I think, the school that I went to was like, you're actually like cool if you're in the choir and like you were in the musicals, and like if you were like did this thing called Stage Challenge where you like learned dances and stuff like that.
What's it called?
Stage Challenge. It's sort of like I don't know, you like dance to like songs and I don't know, it's kind of hard to explain, but it is cool.
Okay.
I don't know. I never did it, but I mean that sort of stuff, like anywhere else in New Zealand, there's like there's no music department, there's no sort of like no choirs or like anything like that, you know.
They don't fund that stuff in the public schools?
I mean, there are definitely some, but it's like it's definitely not, I don't know, there was like a really good department, really good teachers and like all that sort of stuff, and it's sort of I feel like if I'd been to a different school then I wouldn't really have realized that.
Right, yeah, okay. So they sort of nurtured it at this school.
Yeah, at this school. Okay. And it was sort of like accepted that it was like by everyone that it was like, it wasn't just like a lame ass thing to do, you know, like it was actually quite cool. So I guess it made it easier for people to do it if they wanted to.
Okay, so do you want to, I know you said you don't like when people find out you sing.
Yeah.
I always want you to sing, but I want you to sing. So are you going to sing the song for me? Or I guess not for me, for everyone listening.
Wait, singing or can I play one of my songs?
You can play one of your songs if you want. That's cool too. And we can just listen to it.
Yeah, I think that I just like, because of the stuff that I make, like if I had heard someone was on X Factor, I'd be like, oh, fuck this, I'm not going to listen to this guy. So I guess it's
like the songs you sung on X Factor.
Yeah, because they were all covers and stuff like that. Like, I think it's like, I don't know, if you've heard that, then I think you give me a chance, listen to my stuff and see that it's like, that's kind of what I thought was a good idea for my, sort of like for my music, and I've realized now that it wasn't really, but
okay.
I'm still making stuff. And
so you got a song in your computer here again?
Yeah, but it also features my little brother on his rapping.
Your brother raps?
Yeah.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
How old is your brother?
He's 19.
Is he coming over here?
He's coming tomorrow, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
is he
exciting.
Fine? How long is he staying over?
A week.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah,
is he going to come train for a bit?
Nah, he's just a rugby player.
Oh, okay.
No, he's a bit too skinny.
Hip-hop?
Just rap, makes beats.
Nice, man.
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay. Fire it up, see if it's working. All right.
If I'm trying to help you out a bit, take you out a bit, mostly just get you to smile a bit, like you never did, cause he ain't ever let you do it like he a papa, but you don't tell me that you like your papa, who should I believe, why do you believe in what you believe, I'm out of us, let us be here, please, all I want is you, I know that you want me too, if you just give me 2 seconds alone
tell
with you, I know
too,
that you'll
yeah,
be mine.
Sleep last night, thinking about us till 5, get my eyelids wide, apart like we are in the bed right now. I guess I just expect you to come right down. Oh, baby. And I know I haven't been myself lately. Trying to pick up from doubts or breaking. Fucking it makes me think you were mine and I was yours. But now it feels like we're both faking it.
You've been mine when I got older. But no
nothing's changed, you're still here. You reminded of my feelings. And maybe if I folded, you pull me in like I don't love. But I know that
dope, man.
Thanks, man.
So you wrote that that song then?
Yeah.
And we were talking while that was playing that you're trying to get back into the music.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was asking if you want to, if you're going to move down the States.
Yeah, well, I'm finishing up at uni this semester, so I'm free to do whatever. I think just see how much music I can make over while I'm studying, and then I guess just go with the flow, see what's going to work for me.
Mm-hmm. I think like Seattle would be a nice place to go.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure there's a big music scene there.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty similar to Vancouver. It wouldn't be much of a shock.
Yeah.
Like, even going from Canada to the States can be a shock.
Because mm-hmm.
they are quite different.
Quite different,
than we
yeah,
are.
Yeah.
Like the they're not humble. They're quite loud.
Yeah.
And they're more open to strangers as well.
Like, yeah.
Anyone will talk to anyone. Uh-huh. But yeah, I think Seattle would be a good place. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't rely on me to tell you where to go for your
career. I think the main thing at the moment is that, like, I need to actually make enough music first that I can actually, you know, show it to people and sort of be like, this is what I want to make or whatever. At the moment, I'm sort of got a whole lot of like half finished ideas and stuff like that. So it's like, I don't know, I want to be able to sort of discover my own potential first before I sort of show it to other people.
Mm-hmm. So you're looking at getting a show here at CITR, what kind of show are you going to be doing?
Music show. It's going to be like basically just going to be playing songs that would be playing on like local radios around the world. So there's like a lot of cool New Zealand bands that aren't really on the global scene. A lot of people from at least like some Nigerian artists I've been listening to.
Nigerian artists.
Yeah, they're sort of like, there's one guy, Wizkid, who was like in One Dance by Drake.
Okay.
So like, I don't know. I mean, they're from Nigeria, but I think they're sort of, I don't know where they live. Mm-hmm. And then there's like, you know, Australia and stuff like that. I think it's sort of a shame that there's a lot of local bands that are like really fucking cool, but you never really get to hear them unless you live in a certain country, you know?
Yeah. All over the world there's probably great bands that no one's ever heard
of
and will never hear.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, they're either not marketable enough to like to reach the whole world, or they're just like not that fast, they're not that serious and stuff like that, you know? Mm-hmm. So
that's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to wrap up. That was awesome. Fletcher Mills, do you have Twitter, Instagram, Facebook?
Instagram, yeah. Twitter's sort of like, I like set it up when I was on X Factor and I haven't touched it since. So,
did you get a blue check and then you don't even use it?
What's a blue check?
It's like a, it's confirmed that it's you if you have a blue check. I bet yours has it.
I don't know.
I'm sure if X Factor set it up, then you've probably got one.
I don't know. But maybe. It's, yeah. Not, I haven't done anything. I've made like 3 posts ever, so don't go on there.
Instagram?
Instagram, it's Fletcher.Mills.
2 L's and an S? Or was that a Z?
I think it's Fletcher.MillsFM.
Okay.
Can't remember.
Pick a song. We'll play out and get out of here because it is almost 11.
Okay. How about Rather Be With You? Yeah. Sinead Harnett.
The manga.
She's British. British, yeah.
Or is she... Sinead is a Irish name.
Yeah, are you thinking of Sinead O'Connor?
Yeah, well, that's the only other Sinead I know, so I was like, oh, yeah, it's Irish.
Sinead, yeah. Sinead. Sinead O'Connor.
Okay.
I was halfway up on the wings of a fantasy. Looking out for love, didn't know what was good for me. Live it up, live it up.
live it up now, baby.